Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh, live on AM 1250, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Use that radio.com app. Hit rewind if you miss anything during the shows throughout the day, or Fan on Demand at 105.7fmthefan.com. Brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is supporter of the New Orleans Pelicans for WWL Radio in New Orleans. He is Mark Menard. Mark, thanks for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Happy to be here.
All right, first things first. We've been, obviously, like everybody else, talking about Zion Williamson. I call him the great Zion Williamson. It just, and maybe you disagree.
You really don't mean that, sir. You're tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, completely. But for me, it just seems like he's been getting, since he entered the league, and even though he's been hurt half the year, he seems like he's getting the LeBron or the Shaq treatment from when they enter the league. And I'm not there yet convinced that he's going to play at that level.
Well, I'll say this to you. You know, he came in, he's had 19 games to show what he can do. He was coming off of that arthroscopic knee surgery and trying to both work his way back from a knee surgery and also feel his way out through the NBA for the first time, you know, as a rookie. And you know, he's had his mistakes. He's had some growing pains, but he's never looked out of his depth on the court at any time. And, you know, with his natural God-given, you know, physical ability and size, he doesn't look out of place out there either. He's able to muscle his way into to his shot whenever he wants to. And we see a lot of times with rookies, you know, you fall back on what got you to the dance. And that's kind of what he's done. He's fallen back on being able to you know, get his shot whenever he wants at the rim, and he's been phenomenal at the rim. You know, there hasn't been a lot of guys who really kept him out. And you know, we've also seen his chemistry grow with his new teammates, especially with Lonzo Ball. So you know, if this is just a preview of what we're going to see, you know, going forward from Zion, I'm not going to put him in the LeBron and Jordan category yet. But you know, he's still got a lot to prove there. But I am definitely, you know, very, very optimistic about what he's going to bring to the New Orleans Pelicans, both the rest of this season and in the future.
See, I agree with you. I was just telling the non-believer, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, that just 15 minutes ago. Yeah, I don't know about LeBron, Kobe, and Michael, but to me, most certainly, Charles Barkley. You know, you have greats and you have greater. I mean, I think he has that kind of potential. What have you seen so far out of him in the limited time you've seen him?
He's got court vision, you know, and he's definitely got a certain wherewithal about him where, you know, the game's not too big for him. And every time he's kind of, you know, upped his game, you know, both at Duke and then now in the NBA, it's never seemed to overwhelm him. He just kind of takes everything in stride. Look, he's a humble kid. And we've seen that in our interactions with him, in our interviews with him. But it's like when he gets on the court, he knows how to flip that switch, and that killer instinct just comes naturally to him. And I think he's a finisher. I think he's a willing passer, and that is also something that kind of needs to be learned by some of these guys who, you know, make their way into the NBA for the first time. And more than anything, it just seems like he's a perfect fit for what the Pelicans have built around him, and that in itself is a huge change from the days when Dell Demps was the GM and he couldn't seem to put anything of substance around Anthony Davis. Now with David Griffin in charge, it looks like he's built this team the right way and built it to really accentuate what Zion does best. And now that they're finally getting on the court and they got those 19 games under their belt to get a little bit of chemistry, I think you saw it. And it showed in how their record has drastically improved from when they were 6-22, you know, to the point where when the season got halted, they were a 60% locked to make the playoffs, even though they were still 3.5 games back. So, you know, and that was also a function of, you know, what they had coming up on their schedule at the time. But I think that what you see out of Zion is just basically a kid who gets it. And that's, even that is rare as a 19-year-old.
Yeah, I would think, I would concur also with his teammate Josh Hart said during the quarantine when they were able to see him. He looked amazing because I think a lot of people thought maybe you're 285, are you going to be in shape when you come back? But he's a young kid, so he'll be able to do that. I'm just wondering about the system because at Duke, I think when he went to Duke, they said, oh, wait a minute, Duke maybe try to tame his game a little bit, but they had him out in space. He was able to run the floor. But the one thing I want to talk about is his jump shot because people are going to play him sort of like Giannis. They'll be willing to give him a jump shot rather than let him run through the lane. How does this jump shot so far after like 19, 20 games?
Well, I'll tell you this. We haven't really gotten to see him since the hiatus started. But
no, I'm saying when he was coming back, yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say that that's the part of his game that he's probably going to have to hone the most, you know, in the near future. And mm-hmm. you know, every rookie comes into the league and they lean on what got them to the dance. And then from there, that's when the guys go about, perfecting everything else and adding things to their game. And that's going to be the next thing he needs to add. His jump shot isn't where it needs to be. It hasn't needed to be anywhere all that great at the moment because he's managed to get to the rim pretty much anytime he wants, but that's going to be the next thing. And all I can tell you is he's been working during the hiatus. We got to talk to him today. They had a Zoom chat with Zion and in New Orleans media.
Yeah, he made some news. Didn't he make some news? They thought they could be special.
He says he thinks they can be.
I like
special.
That.
And I'll like tell you it. This. You know, we got to see him. You know, on a video conference today, and we've seen some pictures. And the dude looks jacked. He looks like he's been working. You know, some of the people who kind of came out and said he looked a little heavy when he came off of that knee surgery, I don't think they're going to say that anymore. He looks slim and trim and you know, for him, slim and trim and you know, pretty solid. So I think that, you know, when you see him back on the court, when the Pelicans take the floor opening night of the restart, it's going to be a little bit different from the last time you saw him. And he said he was out there with his stepdad. They had access to a basketball court. Apparently he's been working in the gym and just putting some shots up. And he also had access to the Pelicans facility all this time because he was granted a waiver by the NBA as an athlete coming off of an injury that still needed rehab for his knee. So he's been able to work with the team trainers the entire time that they've been out, where most guys didn't get that luxury. But because he was coming off of that knee surgery, he got a waiver for it. So he's been working with the team. He's been working on his own. And I'll tell you what, it looks like it shows from what we could see of him.
You know, you guys had Anthony Davis there for a minute. And listen, and I think he's a special player too. Any comparisons between the two?
I'll tell you this. I think Zion's offensive game is way farther along than Anthony's was as a rookie. Anthony came into the league as a defensive specialist, and he's worked his offensive game in the offseason over and over and over again, and to the point where he's really become an all-around threat on the court. But that wasn't there at the beginning. As for Zion, I think it's a little bit of the opposite. His defense needs a little bit of work, and only because he needs to, you know, really fully integrate himself into the system, learn how to play with his teammates. I think that's what was lacking, is that he didn't get a lot of time on task in the beginning of the season because he was hurt. So I think that's going to come along. I think he's got a natural defensive acumen where, you know, he's going to be a pretty decent shot blocker, and he already is, but he's going to, you know, once he learns how to work in the system, it's going to be that much better. So if there's a spot where he's really been lacking at the beginning, it was the defensive chemistry with his teammates. Whereas with Anthony, it was the opposite. He didn't really have much of an offensive game when he first got to the league. And for Zion, that's not a problem at all.
Talking with Mark Menard. He covers the Pelicans for WWL Radio in New Orleans. So we've talked about Zion Williamson. Okay, enough of that. Let's move on. let's talk a little bit about Brandon Ingram, because I think he really has taken a big step forward. He was coming into his own with the Lakers, and now we'll see how, you know, whose team this is. Obviously, it's probably going to be Zion's team, but Brandon Ingram really has taken a step forward.
Brandon Ingram, more than anything, more than anybody else, benefited from Zion being out for the first, you know, few months of the season, because it allowed him to step into that role and really, you know, relish it and embrace it as a guy who could be a leader for this team on the floor. You know, his offensive game has flourished this year, and it's obvious to everybody because he got, you know, he got his first All-Star nod. And at 22, you know, he's heading into an offseason where he's going to get a max contract. The Pelicans are going to keep him in the fold, and he's going to be a max guy for this team. And, you know, you hate to say, you know, anybody getting hurt was a good thing, but I think with Zion not being the focal point at the beginning of the season, and it really allowed Brandon to flourish into this new role of being something of a closer as well, because he was the guy with the ball in his hands more often than not at the beginning of the season when they would need to get it done at the end of the game. So this season has really seen him grow a lot, and you know, I don't know a ton about, you know, what he was doing as a Laker in terms of his development there and what they were doing with him, but I can tell you this, he's made leaps and bounds development forward in New Orleans from where he was in LA. And I don't know if that speaks to their developmental system or ours, or if it was just his time or what, but for the guys that we have gotten from the Lakers and then Anthony Davis trade, they really seem to have grown a lot here in New Orleans, where they almost looked like they were getting stifled, especially last year once LeBron arrived in LA. I think that they got stifled a little bit, and Lonzo and Josh Hart and Brandon Ingram have really come into their own here in New Orleans, and you love to see it.
I'm a, first of all, I appreciate shopping in all your stores around Wisconsin and Menards, so thank you for that. But I would say this about Ingram. When they moved him, because I'm a Laker fan, by the way, Mark, just to let you know. When they moved him, I said, they're going to create more space for him because I liked his jump shot. So I'm a big Ingram fan. But I want to get back to Zion. Man. We ain't got you on for nobody but him. I'm going to be honest with you. Let's be honest. Now, we're in a barbershop. Now, I mean, you can speak freely. Won't be no headlines. No one will say nothing to you on social media. Did the NBA do something to get Zion in this 22 tournament team, or it just kind of worked out that way? What do you think?
All right, so this is a larger topic here, but I think we would have been cheated as a fan if they had jumped straight into the playoffs with a 16 team format, because these guys are going to need some games to warm up. So
agreed.
I understand that
agreed.
Part of it, and you know, if you're going to do that, then you know, why not add a few more teams to the mix? In terms of whether or not, you know, Zion got the Pelicans there, he probably did, and you know, it's been proven that he draws eyeballs to the TV set when he's on nationally televised games. So why wouldn't they want Zion to be part of the mix in terms of, you know, what teams they allow back in? But I've also seen a lot of people grousing about what their schedule looks like, and that's where I have to push back a little bit, because the Pelicans' final 18 games was set up to be one of the easiest strength of schedules in the league, and it actually got a little harder because of who's going to be available in this 22-team restart. Some of the teams mm-hmm. that they were going to play aren't even invited. And so, you know, the people that are saying the NBA massaged the schedule to allow the Pelicans a clearer path to the playoffs, that's just patently untrue, because they really kind of put it closer to what the Pelicans were going to have to play anyway. It's just the matter of the NBA scheduled a lot of really tough opponents for the Pelicans early in the season because they wanted Zion to be on national TV against good opponents early in the season, and it didn't work out that way because of the knee surgery. So all of their, you know, easier opponents were kind of backloaded on the schedule, and that's what they had going forward, and that's why they were a 60%, you know, playoff lock when the season got halted, even though they were trailing the Grizzlies by 3.5 games. Memphis had a very tough schedule coming up because they had played a lot of the easier opponents already. So in that point, it would have balanced out, and I think the Pelicans would have made the playoffs. As it stands now, I think that they still have a good shot to get in. I think that they were playing very well when the break started. And look, the big story of this 8-game restart is going to be who comes out of the gate fastest and who shakes off the rust the fastest.
Yep.
Because these guys haven't been around each other for 4 months now. It's going to be almost 4.5 months by the time they finally get on the court for a meaningful game again. And the team that can come out of the gates and get that rust off and get their chemistry back the quickest, I think they're going to be the ones that benefit the most. And the Pelicans being a young team, sometimes it's an advantage that you don't know what you don't know. So they don't know that they're not supposed to be able to do things, and maybe that helps them out a little bit, and they're able to move forward and grab the playoff spot that I think they would have gotten anyway. But we're going to find out right out of the gate, because they start off with the Jazz and the Clippers in their first two games. So those two games, I think, are really going to set the tone for what the Pelicans can accomplish.
So you agree with me that John Morant is the – oh, go ahead, Gary.
I know you have a unbiased opinion on this. Inside track to win the NBA MVP, is that LeBron
and Rookie of the Year?
Wait, I'm sorry. I didn't catch it. What was the MVP competition?
Yeah. Inside, who from your guesstimation, unbiased opinion, MVP of the NBA, is it Giannis or LeBron James?
You know, that's a really good question. I think it's a close race, and we're not going to get to see the final 18 game stretch of what these guys would have put out there during the regular season. We'll get 8 games, so I'm really kind of looking forward to these 8 games and seeing what both of them look like in the restart before I can make a final decision on that. Because I'd say the two of them are obviously their teams have the best records in the NBA, and I think that they're neck and neck at this point. People never want to give LeBron another MVP because he's won it so many times in the past, but it's been a while. It's been a minute since LeBron got an MVP. And it's obvious he's still one of the best players in the game. Giannis is one of the guys that's, coming to try to take that crown. And I think, these final 8 games will tell the tale as to which of them ends up earning the honor.
What about Rookie of the Year? Because I was going to just give it to John Morant, but with 8 games, can Zion still win that award?
I think if the Pelicans make the playoffs over the Grizzlies, then it's going to make the conversation a little bit more difficult. Zion was facing a huge uphill battle because Ja played the entire season, and obviously he didn't get in until January, and late January at that. So he was already facing an uphill battle, but he's made a lot of ground up in the way that he's played since he got in the game. I think. My opinion all along was if the Pelicans were to make the playoffs over the Grizzlies, then that would make the conversation a lot tighter and Zion might be able to steal it. I don't have a vote. I don't know what everybody else is thinking that does have a vote. But in my opinion, I would think a Pelican playoff berth would make things a lot more interesting in terms of that voting booth. And maybe he could slip in there and steal it. But right now, I'd still say it's Ja's award to lose.
There he is, Mark Menard, covers the Pelicans for WWL Radio in New Orleans, our first team that we have on to preview of the 22 that'll be in the bubble. We'll do one each day between now and the start of the NBA season. Mark, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark, you were great, man. You were great. Thank you.
thank you. No problem, guys. I love coming on with you.
Take care. There he is, Mark Menard, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion now growing your home, the Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. All right, coming up.
You remember me telling you that this race is closer than you think?
Yeah. Yep. Does that mean I have to agree?
You think Bucks fans are going to be livid if he doesn't win it?
Yep.
MVP?
Yep.
Why would they be?
And I think there'll be national media members also upset if he doesn't win it. But
really?
We'll see what happens. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think everybody is a LeBron James fan in the media.
Oh, fan. Okay.
Yeah, cuz national media, look guys, we all know this, right? Everybody's human. Not everybody is a LeBron guy in the media, just like Bayless doesn't like Aaron Rodgers.
No, he doesn't.
Cowherd doesn't either.
Neither is Cowherd.
Neither one of those guys like him. Right.
No matter what Aaron Rodgers does, they're going to find the other angle on it. So,
but I think they will vote for Aaron Rodgers if he put up the numbers he did back when he won those two MVP. They will vote for him. They will vote for him. But it's so obvious that you don't like him. You can't speak against the numbers, how good he is.
I think so. That's a situation where whoever wins, Giannis or LeBron, there will be people on the other side saying the other got screwed.
Oh, no question.
I think that's how it'll play out.
We do that all the time.
So, all right. Hey, Wendy's, take advantage of their two for $5 menu going on right now. And it's a score, baby. Wendy's right now, two for $5 includes their homestyle chicken sandwich, spicy chicken sandwich, 10-piece spicy nugs, or 10-piece crispy nugs, all a part of the deal. So mix them up. Double down on just one. Either way you go, there's no wrong answer at Wendy's. Better get your order on. We got you, Wendy's. All right, coming up next, I know it's not a Top 5 Friday on the Fan, and Tim Allen will have a Top 5 Friday on the Fan tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock here on the Wendy's Big Show. Him and Dan Plucker will come up with the Top 5 for 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But since Gary Leroy and I are here today and none of us are here tomorrow, we're going to do our own Top 5 today. Taken off of an article on a website that lists the top five Packer quarterbacks of all time, and I definitely do not agree with the top five that they have listed, so we'll see what your thoughts are coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show, back in 60 seconds.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.